I am glad to see you all back here again. I regret this is our last study in Colossians. But all must come to an end. So in the book of Colossians, let's see if we can finish that book. I think we can. We were talking this morning about many things. We were talking about the conditions in the home. In Colossians 3:18, we learned about the women and how they were to submit to their husband. That's very difficult in these days of women's liberation. But the Bible standard is there, and it's inflexible, unbendable. The laws in the United States may be changed. We have what is called an Equal Rights Amendment. It's passed in many of our states, but not yet nationally. May it never be passed in our national country. You say, what's wrong with equal rights, women and men? It's not simply women are equal with men under the law. But if this law passes in our country, the way it's written, you will have no laws against adultery anymore. Because that wouldn't make men and women equal. There'll be no laws against prostitution anymore. Because that would be prejudice against some women. There'll be no laws against sodomy and homosexuality any longer. Because everybody's got to have equal rights, even the homosexual. There's no law anymore there will be against female lesbianism. They will be able for homosexuals to have children in their homes. Training them up into evil practices. We will not be able to keep homosexuals out of the classroom teaching our students. We will not be able to keep them out of our military services. We'll probably not be able to keep the women off of the pastors, being pastors and preachers and ministers. And if we have convictions that only men should be preachers, and a woman wants to come and be our preacher, if that law is applied, the women have to preach. We'll fold up the church first. We'll stop the church first.
But this is a serious matter in our country. But we talked this morning about husbands. Verse 19, how they were to love their wives. Continuously love their wives. Without stopping. For any reason. Even if they may be bad or evil wives. We are still to keep right on loving them. And then we talked about children in verse 20. It mentioned children were to obey their parents in all things. While pleasing to the Lord. We talked in verse 21 about parents. How they should not provoke their children to anger. Lest they be discouraged. Then verse 22, up through chapter 4, verse 1, we talked about the believer on the job. We talked about servants, how they were to obey their masters. Not just when the masters were watching them work. In singleness of heart, serving the Lord. In verse 23, we found that anything we do, we were to do it from our very hearts. As to the Lord, not to men. Because we see in verse 24, the Lord will reward us. But in verse 25, he will judge us if we don't do right. In chapter 4, verse 1, we found that masters should give to their servants what is just and fair. These were for Christian masters. The unsaved, we have no control over at all. But if you're a believer, Master, you ought to treat your servants well. Knowing that you have a Master in heaven. And now verses 2 through 6, we take the believer's walk. There are six things that are mentioned for the believer to do. Let's read verses 2 through 6, please, together. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All right, let's take a look at the six things the believer is to do. First, in verse 2, we're to continue in prayer. This word for continue is interesting. Proskarterete. That's good. It means to persist in something. Be intent upon. Don't fall asleep while you're praying. Secondly, watch unto prayer with thanksgiving. The watch word here. Gregoruntes. And just like the continue is present, continuous action, so we must continually be watching.
The
verb means to be awake. Be vigilant.
Be
alive. And notice again, we see unto thanksgiving. I believe this is the fourth time Paul has mentioned thanksgiving in Colossians. Maybe it's because the Christians were not thankful in Colossians. And maybe we're not so thankful either. The man that led me to Christ was a high school janitor or custodian. He was a poor man. He was a good man. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when our class graduated from school, from high school, so in that class. She'd been a Christian many years. I was a high school senior when I came to Christ. But two or three or four of us in that class were led to Christ that very year that I came to know the Lord. We called him Uncle Charlie. That was his name, Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie never drove out anyway.
Uncle Charlie was a kind man.
Oh, God, I remember my Jim.
And he said, you know, he'd been in that high school for 20 years. It may have been 15, I'm not sure, but many, many years. He was janitor. He pushed the broom and cleaned the whole high school. Like this high school, but much, much bigger. In our country, we used to have freedom to put up Bible verses in schools. In the 1940s, he put Bible verses every year in our school. He had displays in the windows. Of Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. He did his best to be a witness for all those 15 or 20 years. But I was the first student he ever led to Christ. How happy he was.
Oh, I'm a man, mother.
And how happy I was. But why I was telling you about my high school janitor, after the Lord saved me, I used to go down to the boiler room. Where all the furnaces were to keep us warm in the winter. You don't know what it means to have to keep warm in the winter here. You don't need any furnaces or heaters here to keep warm in the winter. But in our country of Ohio, where it snows, we have huge boilers that heat our rooms. And his office was right there in that boiler room. And we're talking about Thanksgiving, aren't we? Four times Paul said, let's be thankful. There was a sign over his desk, and that's what I'm getting to. And I think you can understand what it means. It had two lines on it. I never will forget it. I had two shoes. No, I had no shoes. And complained until I met a man who had no feet. You understand that? Once more, I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. May God give us thanksgiving in our hearts.
Amen.
For all that He has given to us. So then notice in verse 3, the third thing Paul said. Not only to continue in prayer, not only to watch with thanksgiving, the third, pray for Paul. This is continuous action again, that praying. Continue to pray for me, he said. Why should the Colossian Christians pray for Paul? They had never met him face to face. Paul was in prison. He was in jail. For Christ's sake. We should pray for others, though we've never seen them also. Paul was an apostle and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an unusually faithful servant to the Lord Jesus
Christ.
We should pray for all of God's faithful servants all over this world. Even though we've never seen them, never met them. I will pray for you because I've seen you. I've met you. I will pray for your pastors because I've seen you and know you. I hope you'll pray for us as we go back. But even though they had not seen Paul, Paul said, please, keep praying for me. And he said, especially, I want you to pray for one thing. Verse 3, that God would open unto him a door of utterance or speaking. And you know what he wanted that open door for? Do you know what he wanted to speak about and talk about? Now remember, Paul was locked up in prison. He still wanted an open door to preach about Christ. Remember, Paul was not a prisoner in his heart. Paul was free in his heart. You can shackle a man's body, but if he's in Christ, he's a free man. The same for free women as well. He wanted to speak about the mystery of Christ. This sacred secret. This is the third time I believe we see this mystery he talks about. I think this is the whole theme of Colossians. We found it first in chapter 1, verse
27.
And that was that Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Jesus Christ ni debe mu omobia ukuko tidia blia na di jongwe.
Can we say it together?
Biada se garu pewe.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a hope in our Savior.
Able ukuko tidi bu akonyo bi.
It's a hope that has glory to it.
Amo ukuko tidi bi able tidi ni.
And Paul wanted to tell others about that glorious hope of eternal life and salvation, of forgiveness of sins and redemption, of the golden streets of glory in heaven. You see, Paul didn't want to quit preaching. But that's why he was in prison. Because he was preaching. He was waiting to get out to preach again. And they put him in prison again, too. We believe there was a second Roman imprisonment. Some just believe there was only one. I think there were two. And in 2 Timothy was his last book. He talked about being a prisoner then. He got out of this first Roman imprisonment. He kept preaching the Lord Jesus Christ firmly and straight. They put him right back into prison again a second time. Oh, he'd been in prison other times before, but this was a Roman prison in Rome. And Second Timothy was his last letter before they killed him. He says, I'm now ready to be offered as an offering for Christ. And he was ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure to glory is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Paul was faithful to the fight. He was faithful to the faith. He was faithful to the finish. For Christ. He wanted to get right out of that prison and still go out and preach some more. He wanted to tell others that if Christ was in their body, if they were redeemed by his precious blood, they could have him inside of them. And with Christ in them, they would have God's hope and God's promise of glory in heaven. Regardless of what else they might have had in life. Or whatever they might not have had in life. With Christ in them, they had a hope of glory. This is that mystery that Paul wanted to keep preaching. In verse 3, it says, for which preaching he is also in bonds. He says, that's why I got into the prison in the first place for this preaching. And the prayer should be, in verse 4, to make it manifest as I ought to speak. So Paul asked to have them pray for him. He said, I want to preach like Jesus wants me to preach. Remember, Jeremiah was a preacher and a prophet of the Old Testament. God said, be not afraid of their faces. Sometimes when you preach hard for Christ, faces out there look at you. They're like stone, some of them. Some sinners that know not Christ look at you and, oh, fearful looks. Angry looks. The Apostle Stephen, or the disciple Stephen, the first martyr for Christ, he preached so hard that those people stoned him to death. And Paul said, I want to preach like Jesus wants me to preach. That I might make it manifest, this gospel, just like I ought to do. Notice the fourth thing Paul says we're to do. In verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Continue to walk. That's the present tense in the Greek. We should walk every day. In wisdom, wisely. For them that are without. That means those that are unsaved, those that are lost. They don't understand us. So we've got to be very careful as we deal with those that are unsaved. If at all possible, to draw them to Christ. Notice the fifth thing in verse 5. Redeeming the time. Again, this is a present participle, present time. A continuous time. This word is ex agorazomenoi. Very good. It means to buy out of the hands of a person. It means to redeem and set him free. If we redeem and buy up the time, this word for time is kairos. And it's a particular time. It's a particular opportunity. Sometimes the time to do something is only coming once. And if we miss that once, the whole thing falls apart. In high school, at Berea High School, I was a football player. I ended up playing the line as a tackle. But in my sophomore year, I was in the backfield for practice. I was the fullback. I didn't do very well as a fullback. I put my head down to the ground. I couldn't see what was ahead of me. I wanted to hit them with a helmet. And not with my face. So the one who was the coach kept running the same play over and over and over again. We call it fullback, that's me, straight through. That means right up the middle of the line. When the blockers moved men to the right and to the left, there was a hole that opened up. Or it was supposed to open up. If it didn't open up, I had to open it up. But if the line could open up a hole for me as a fullback, I had to go through quickly, and only then could I go through. Redeeming the time. There's only a certain season. We can work for the Lord here. Tomorrow may be too late. Redeem this season, this time, now. When God opens up a door, go through that door. In faith. The sixth thing in verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. This grace is like beauty or charm. It's the word charis. That's similar to thank you. Graceful speech becomes Christians. But then in verse 6, the last part, there's something else he adds to that. He says, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. Mixed up with salt.
Okay, all right.
In other words, it's not just some nice talk and that's all. We must be gracious, but we also must have some seasoning to sparkle it up. Make it taste better. Make it go down a little easier. We enjoy it then. It's like your cassava leaf. No? No? But we had cassava leaf yesterday. And on top of the chicken, the fish. And it had palm oil in it. It tasted good. Isn't that a seasoning? Alright. So we've got to be a little bit salty also in our speech. Not that we lose our grace. But sometimes we must be very practical and specific. So it gets right down to our hearts where we can taste exactly what is meant. Then verse 6 says that ye may know how to answer every man. God doesn't want us to be pushed all over. Sometimes we must stand up tall to men. I remember my commanding officer in the Marine Corps. Lieutenant Colonel Rouse. I remember we were in the Philippine Islands, I believe. We used to have what we call character guidance lectures as chaplains. It talked about moral values, even though they were unsaved people. I told them adultery was sin and wrong. I told my Marines that fornication was wrong, was sin. Colonel Rouse called me in. He said, "Chaplain, I don't want you teaching that." He said, "Maybe adultery is wrong, but fornication is fine." By the way, Colonel Rouse had no children. He said, "When I was young, I always committed fornication." I wonder if he had venereal disease and is sterile. I said, "Colonel Rouse, I will teach the truth regardless of what you say. I will obey any lawful order. But I am representing Jesus Christ. He says this is sin. And as long as I teach in the character guidance, I will say fornication and adultery and all the other things. Sin. He dismissed me, I saluted him, and I went out to the tent. He got out his pen, wrote up a fitness report, as we call him. Said, this chaplain is no good. I was never promoted anymore in the Navy. But the Lord promoted me anywhere. Much more important. That I might know how to answer every man. And the Lord had to guide me to answer that lieutenant colonel. We have some chaplains or preachers in uniform that compromise. They speak pleasant things in order to get their promotion. I guess I don't have that much wisdom. Or else I love the truth too much. Now notice the last point in the book of Colossians. Verses 7 through 18. Christian fellowship and concluding remarks by Paul. Very quickly, because we're a little bit behind. Notice first in verse 7. Tychicus. The name Tychicus.
Okay, you know the name Tychicus.
Let's read 7 through the end of the book, please. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, yes, saluted you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you.
Amen.
Very quickly, Tychicus will tell the Christians at Colossae all about Paul. How he was doing in prison. He would probably carry this letter to the Colossian Christians. Just like Pastor Joe, I must carry our Bible for today news report. We're going to send him a few extras. Each month. And then he'll carry it over into the interior.
Okay.
Somehow. But notice, Tychicus, his first a beloved brother in verse 7. I hope you're a beloved brother and sister.
I hope
the Lord Jesus can love you because you love him. Secondly, in verse 7, he's a faithful minister. So many unfaithful ministers. Third, he's a fellow servant in the Lord. The first minister here is Diakonos. But fellow servant here in verse 4, the next one is Sundulos. A fellow slave of Christ. Notice in verse 8, the fourth thing, he was sent by Paul. Paul sent him to know how they were doing. And to comfort their hearts. God needs to comfort the hearts of the saints, doesn't
he?
Notice the second man he mentions in verse 9. Onesimus. He's going to accompany Tychicus. Philemon is the one who was the slave master of Onesimus. Onesimus ran away from Philemon. Philemon lived in
Colossae.
Now Paul is sending Onesimus back to his slave master. Now both are saved. Philemon is saved and Onesimus is also saved. Notice what he says about Onesimus. Three things. First, he's a faithful brother. May you be faithful in everything. Brothers and sisters in
Christ.
Second, he's a beloved brother. May you love Christ and be loved by him. Third, together they'll tell Paul how Paul is doing in prison. Now notice in verses 10 to 15, other people that he just names just a little bit. Verse 10, Aristarchus. He was Paul's fellow prisoner. He was in jail too because he was preaching Christ. And he salutes them and greets them. Notice in verse 10, here's Marcus, or Mark. John Mark left Paul on the second missionary journey. He didn't want to be a missionary. He wanted to go back to Mama. So he went back to Mama. Now he's back with Paul. Paul and Mark straightened their difficulties out. It's possible for servants of Christ to straighten their difficulties out. Provided both are captive to the Word of God.
Amen.
When one loves the Word and the other doesn't, you can't straighten anything out. So, Mark was sister's son to Barnabas. And they received commandments about him. He says, receive him when he comes to you there in
Colossae.
The third man he names in verse 11 is Jesus.
Jesus.
That's not Jesus Christ, but another word called Justice.
Jesus Christ.
He was a Jew of the circumcision.
I'm a Jew. I'm a Saza Jew.
All right, and he says the above people were the ones that were his fellow workers to the kingdom of God. And he says they've been a comfort to him in prison. Then he mentions in verse 12, Epaphras. He was a pastor of this church. He was one that was from Colossae. He was a servant of Christ. That word means slave, a doulos. He greets them. In verse 12, he also fervently prays for them also. Notice the things for which Paul prays, earnestly prays. And continuously praises. That they may stand. Greek word is stata. That's eris from histemi. It's a once for all decision to stand fast. To be firm and persistent. Paul wanted these Christians in Colossae to be firm and persistent. And he wanted them to be perfect. Teleoi is the word. That means brought to completion. Fully accomplished. Fully developed. Full grown in Christ. That's my prayer for you, saints, here. Stand and be perfect. Also notice the word, to be complete. Filled up, not lacking anything. In what area were they to be complete? In verse 12, in all the will of God. We said earlier, full knowledge of God's will is found in full knowledge of God's word. Little knowledge of God's word means a little knowledge of God's will. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Read your Bible through.
1987.
Have a blessed and happy new year reading it. Inside, there's a story about how this was written. 1948. Her father, my wife's father, my father-in-law, Mr. Sanborn. He was a successful salesman in Stanley Home Products. He retired at an early age and had plenty of money to take care of everything. I went to one of his sales meetings one time. In Cleveland, Ohio. He said there are 10 points for successful selling. The first two are plan your work. The last eight are work your plan. The work has been planned. Eighty-five verses a day will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. Now to work the plan and be blessed of the Lord. All the rest of your life, you must work this plan. That you may stand full in the will of God for all your life. I've never stopped reading that Bible. Year by keep reading it. Don't you know it when you read it once? Don't you understand what you read? Every day I'm a different man. With different needs. With different knowledge of what God wants me to do. And His Word shows me His will for that day. And every day of my life. May you be full in the knowledge of the will of God. I'm overtime, Pastor. It's 50 minutes. He always has me speak 45. And he started me a little bit late, so... Okay, I'll be finished. No, not too long. Notice verse 13. He has great zeal for them. And also for those in Laodicea, in Hierapolis, other countries. Paul just had a big heart. Nobody traveled more than Paul in that New Testament. Notice the fourth person in verse 14. His name is Luke. He's called the beloved physician. 2 Timothy 4:11. He salutes them and greets them. And then Demas also, the fifth person. Then the brethren in Laodicea. They greet them. And then Nymphas. He greets them. And the church that is in his house. We may have house churches yet in Liberia. And we may have house churches necessary in the United States. If the government says you have to close down your church, you meet in a house. Or meet out in the field. Or start a church like you men have done in a school. And then build a church of your own and hope the walls don't fall down. But the church in their house, nothing wrong with that. Despise not the day of small things. You don't have to be great and great and big and big. I found in my country the biggest of churches are quite often the most corrupt and vile. Deep down under. And they don't want their preachers many times to really preach the word. So be happy even if you're small. And rejoice in the Christian fellowship that God has given to you. Notice verse 16, he says, when this letter is read to Colossians, read it also in the church of the Laodiceans. And read the letter that I sent to them too. Paul said, read the word of God. Interchange your letters. And finally, the eighth one in verse 17, Archippus. And notice, he says, tell him to take heed to the ministry or service which he has received of the Lord to fulfill it. Has Christ given you a ministry? Something to do for him? Lepen, that's the word, take heed. Blepa means continuously take heed and watch and see. Because if Christ gave you that ministry, if you received it of the Lord, be sure you fulfill that. That word to fulfill is pleroi. We get that word full or plenary inspiration from that same word, plenaro. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Same word. This ministry that they received of the Lord, they should complete and perform. They should perform it fully. They should discharge it completely. The Lord has given us a ministry, Bible for today. I want to be fully able to fulfill that ministry. With the blessings of the Lord. The Lord has given you men ministries and you ladies here in this
church.
May God give you the grace to fulfill those also. Finally, the salutation in verse 18. He greets them. And he says it's by his own hand that he writes this. And then he asks them one more thing. To remember his bonds in prison. The word for remember again, present tense, continuously remember my
bonds.
And we ought to remember those Christian brethren that are in bonds in communist prisons and others all over the world. And finally he says grace to all of them. God is a gracious God, isn't he? And may the Lord make each of us rejoice in his mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We appreciate being with you in this book of Colossians. And I apologize to Pastor Joe for 58 minutes instead of
45.
We'll turn it back over to you.
Well, I